preaching in our worship, all right? Preaching in our worship. Acts chapter 10, and beginning at verse number 34, then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all." That word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree, him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. Friends, preaching is primary. It is number one. No matter else, whatever takes place in a Baptist church, the number one thing is the preaching of the Word of God. I like good singing. I like these selections, Andy. They've been good. I like to sing. Like to hear singing. I enjoy church. I enjoy fellowship. I like fellowship meals. Man, if Baptists ever need a field representative for these potluck suppers, I'm the man. I'm going. I'll take the job. I'll travel all over and eat your casserole. I mean, I like that. But I'll tell you what. The number one thing is the preaching of the Word of God. Preaching is primary. The pulpit is in the center of a Baptist church because preaching is primary. We don't have an altar up here and the pulpit off to the side. We don't preach a dead religion. We preach a live religion. Jesus is alive, as it says in verse 40, him God raised up the third day. Jesus is alive. To make preaching number one in our worship service, there are several things that we must do. Preaching needs to be number one. First of all, realize that the preacher is God's spokesman. The preacher is God's spokesman. He is God's man. It reminds me of John the Baptist in John chapter 1 and beginning at verse number 6, where it says there was a man, and that's all that any preacher is. He's a man. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now, the thing that made him different is that he was sent from God. He had a commission from God. I've never doubted my call to preach. Other people have doubted it, but I've never doubted it. Because I was there, and I know that God called me, and I'm to be a witness. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That's what I'm here tonight to do, to bear witness of the light. I'm not here to tell you stories, but I'm here to bear witness of the light. That's the primary thing that I'm here to do. God's man with God's message. Secondly, expect God to speak to you through the sermon. Expect God to speak to you through the sermon. Don't just come and sit through the sermon. Expect God to speak to you through the sermon. God has a message, or he wouldn't have sent a messenger. And then, thirdly, be prepared for the sermon. Pray before church. Pray during church. Read the passage that's preached. We have a couple that just joined with us about 3 months ago. And they said the one thing that drew them to Elliott Baptist Church is when the pastor said, "Turn to," it sounded like the leaves in the forest were turning, like the breeze. They said, we hadn't been in a church like that in years, where people look to the passage and look to the Word of God. We ought to go to that passage. We ought to see where it's going to be. And listen, if your preacher preaches through a book of the Bible, study that ahead of time. Our folks know that where I'll be on Sunday. They know where I'll be preaching. And I encourage them, you study that passage. You be prepared. You prepare yourself. Get ready for the sermon. Be ready for God's message. And then you need to hear that sermon. And the Bible tells us how we ought to hear a sermon. James chapter 1 and verses 21 and 22. James chapter 1 and verse 21. Before the sermon, what should we do? Well, the Bible says to children of God, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. You ought to get right and be right even before church ever begins. Amen. Lay apart all filthiness. And then during the service and during the sermon, the Bible says, and receive with meekness the engrafted Word which is able to save your souls. During the service, receive the Word of God. Receive what's being preached. Receive it. Believe it. Be blessed by it. The Word of God. And then, notice with me in verse 22, after the sermon, after you have left this place, be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Be ye doers of the Word. We're not just to hear it, we're to do it. We're to live it day in and day out. And I believe that if you will follow these few little simple principles, I believe that your preacher will be a much better preacher after you do that. He'll improve. Now, he's not going to get any better, but he'll improve in your mind and ears because you've prepared yourself for the sermon. Amen? And it's important that we do that. Now let's go back to Acts chapter 10 and verse number 34, beginning at verse 34, and we want to see the need for preaching. And I believe this tonight, the need for preaching is great. The need for preaching is great. We don't need any more talks on the power of positive thinking. We need preaching. I know how to use the power of persuasion. To use the power of psychology. To tickle your ears. To speak in a voice that would be much more pleasing for people to listen to over a period of time. And speak to you about the necessity of thinking of yourself in a much better manner, esteeming yourself more highly. But I'm not going to do that because I'm a preacher. Amen? And so we need to preach the Word. Acts 10 verse number 34 says, then Peter opened his mouth. And let her rip. No, I didn't say that. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. All people need preaching. All people need preaching. The message of the gospel is to be proclaimed to all people. He's no respecter of persons. The Great Commission is given to us in a couple of places. And in Mark 16:15, the Bible says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to all the elect. Is that what it says? Does not. It says, preach the gospel to every creature. That's my responsibility, friend, to preach the gospel to every creature. I believe in worldwide missions. And I believe that we shouldn't be so concerned about what a missionary is doing if we're not concerned about what we're doing. We're to have missionary hearts here at home. And we find in Acts 10:35 that preaching is what's needed if people are going to get right. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Now friends, preaching is what helps me. Preaching helps me. I find out through preaching that we're made right through believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. I find that through preaching. I love what it says over in Romans chapter 3. I'm going to just begin reading at verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there's no difference. Hey, preaching is for everybody. Everybody needs to hear it. Amen. Jew and Gentile, every kindred, nation, and tongue. And what do they need to do? They need to believe on the Lord Jesus. The Bible tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody's missed the mark. Nobody's ever hit the bullseye. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But, notice verse number 24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. You have faith in His blood tonight? Do you believe His blood is cleansing? Do you believe His blood can cover and remove our sins? I believe that. To declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. I also believe that His blood will cleanse our sins past, present, and future. To declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just, and look at this, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Now, I'm justified. And I'm sanctified. Not because of anything I've done, but because of what He's done for me. I am declared right in the sight of God because of the blood of Jesus. Preaching is essential if folks are going to be saved. Notice Romans chapter 10 and beginning at verse number 12. Romans 10 and verse 12. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all them that call upon Him. Preaching's for all. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Too many people stop there. They don't get down to verse 14. How shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? Then do you any good to call on somebody you don't believe in? And how shall they believe on Him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Amen? Preaching is primary. And verse 17 said, so then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Verse 15, how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Of course, not all obey the gospel. Not everybody believes it, but we're to preach it to everybody. My wife told me, she said, the only time you can ever say that your feet are beautiful is when you're preaching the gospel. Because your feet ain't pretty. And they're not. I don't wear sandals. We need to preach the word. Then in Acts chapter 10 and verse 36, God's method of sending out His message is preaching. Acts 10 verse 36, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. God's method is the preaching. Notice that the verse says, the word which God sent, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. Now, preaching is foolishness to those who do not believe, but it's the power of God unto those who do believe. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God. That's why the ACLU fights all the preaching that they can. They fight the Bible, fight everything else. That's why they don't want the Ten Commandments. That's why they don't care if the Muslims and the Buddhists and the Hoodists and the Hoodoos and everything else have time at school, but they don't want Christians to have any time. Amen? Because the preaching to them is foolishness. But God chose preaching to save the lost. Verse 21 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 says, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Amen? So we're to preach the gospel. And then in Acts chapter 10, in verse 36 and down through verse 42, we learn that the center of our preaching ought to be on Jesus. We ought to center our preaching on Jesus. Preach Christ and Him crucified, buried, and risen again. Acts 10:36, the last part of that verse says, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. And the only way to have peace is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Without Christ, you have no peace. You must have the Prince of Peace to have peace. This world will never have peace until the Prince of Peace comes back to rule. But He can rule in your heart. And you can have peace that passes understanding. And it's a peace that the world knows nothing of. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. And how marvelous that is and wonderful it is. We know that we have no strength without Him. So we need Him. We need to look to the Lord. We need to trust in the Lord. Romans 5 and verse 6 says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. We need to preach Christ. Because man is without strength. Of course, verse 8, but God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's not that we can get good enough, it's that we're bad enough. And we are. We're sinners. He died for the ungodly. We have no strength spiritually without Him. He is Lord of all, so we trust in Him. Of course, preaching and worship testifies of the ministry of Jesus. There in Acts 10 and verse 38, it speaks of what He did, how that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. I love the scripture that says, this is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. He's the anointed one of God. He is. He's the anointed one. He's the servant of the Lord. So we ought to preach Christ as the servant of the Lord who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Then we preach Christ as the sacrifice for sin. Of course, this is the message that we preach. He is the sacrifice. The Bible says in verse 39 of Acts chapter 10, and we are witnesses of all things which He did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Why was He crucified? Why was His blood shed? Because He was our sacrifice. He is our sacrifice. The book of Hebrews tells us that we have an altar, and Christ is our altar. We go to Him. We look to Jesus. He died the just for the unjust that He might bring us to God. That's why He died. The just for the unjust. Being put to death in the flesh but quickened by the Spirit. He's made alive by the Spirit. Then we find also that we preach Christ risen. We don't leave Him on a crucifix hanging in a hospital room. Amen. He's off that cross. And we don't leave Him in a tomb because He's not there either. Acts 10, verse 40 says, Him God raised up the third day and showed Him openly. He's alive. He's alive. And because He lives, you can live. And you can face tomorrow. The resurrection proves Him to be the Son of God and God the Son. Romans 1 and verse 4. And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. He's declared to be the Son of God. He's alive. He is. We also preach Christ as the judge. Acts 10 and verse 42. And He commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is He which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. For those of us who are made alive by the Spirit of God, we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For those who are dead in trespasses and sin, and they die in that condition, they will face Him at the great white throne judgment. He's the judge. We preach Him. We ought to preach not only the love of God, but the wrath of God. The whole counsel of God. And this message that we preach, it's a message that needs to be repeated. I love that old hymn, Tell Me the Story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest, sweetest that ever was heard. And tell it to me again. I don't tire of it. I love it. I want to hear it. Acts 10:43. To Him give all the prophets witness that through His name whosoever believeth in Him shall receive remission of sins. That's the message that needs to be repeated. Believe in what Christ has done for sinners. Trust in Him in repentance and faith, and He'll save you. But then we notice in Acts 10 and verse 44 that we need preaching that's empowered by the Holy Spirit. Acts 10:44, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them, on all them which heard the word. Now friends, the power of the sermon is not dependent on the skill of the oratory of the preacher. It's dependent on the power of the Holy Spirit. When you come under conviction, it's the work of the Holy Spirit, not the work of the preacher. That's God's work. And that's a relief that that's God's work. That's not my work. I don't have to produce. I have to preach. Preach the word. And let me say this, that preaching results in response. It does. There will be response. I'm not talking about people coming forward all the time, but I'm talking about there's a response to preaching. Acts 10:45, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. As many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should be baptized, or these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? Preaching gets results. In the book of Acts, and I'll not have time to go to the references, but there were three responses to preaching in the book of Acts. Preaching made people angry. That's why they stoned Stephen. I don't believe he preached any message any different than what Brother Blevins was preaching or what I'm preaching, but it got to them. It bothered them. It made them mad. I've had people get mad at me for preaching. Twice in my ministry, I've had people storm out. Once in Arkansas, those Arkansans, you can get them mad pretty easy. And but once in Arkansas, a lady just told me, you're not going to tell me what to do. I said, lady, I'm not telling you what to do. And that's after she'd stormed out, and I went and talked with her afterward. Then in Owensboro, Kentucky, preaching in a revival, so folks just had, they had those swinging doors, you know, hinged, and that boy, they went out, whoop, 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 whoop. Everybody knew they'd gone. Preaching makes people angry. And then preaching sometimes makes people sad. Brings a sadness to them. They become pricked in their heart, and there's a sadness that comes. But I want you to notice something with me. In Acts chapter 8 and verse number 8, I like this best. Acts 8 and verse number 8. And there was great joy in the city. I like it when people get happy about preaching. I preached Sunday night, and a fellow that's not been with us long, he came up and said, man, I was fed tonight. And he had a big smile. You know, and he had joy, not because I'm a good preacher, I'm not, but he got fed. The Lord showed him some things he hadn't seen, you see. And that's what happened. Now, I want you to go back and get the circumstance of this. Go to Acts 8 and verse 5. Acts 8 and verse 5, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. They gave heed. You know what will make you happy? Give you joy? You take heed to the preaching. Instead of saying, I'm not going to listen to that old preacher. No, you take heed to the preaching. For unclean spirits crying with loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies that were lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. Why? Because a preacher came, and there was preaching. I like that. I believe that preaching always results in some kind of response. It does. There's a response to preaching. There is. Then, Acts chapter 10, verses 45 and 46, we find that Cornelius had his household there, and he and his household believed the gospel as it was preached by Peter. They were saved. They believed. We've read those verses. And verses 47 and 48 say that they made a confession of faith. Verse 47, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? They've been saved. They need to be baptized too. I'm not going to get into all the theology of this transitional period of time. I think you understand that everybody gets saved the same way. Faith in the Lord Jesus. And verse 48 says, and he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him, and I want you to see that last thing, then prayed they him to tarry certain days. You know what will happen? Friends, true preaching brings a hunger for more preaching. They begged him to stay a while longer. Said, hey, stay a while. I remember preaching some 2-week revivals, and I hadn't done that in a long time. And really, not many places have whole week revivals anymore. And that's including where I'm at. These new converts wanted more. They wanted to hear more and more and more. And when you get in tune with the Lord, when you're prepared for the preaching, you'll hunger for more. You'll want it. I love the Word of God. I love to read my Bible. I like to have my Bible before I have anything else. No physical food until you have spiritual food. And me and little Jesse, we read the Bible every morning. Now Jesse is Bethany's little bitty puppy. Little chihuahua. And every morning when I go to my chair to read my Bible, he doesn't wait till I get there. He's right at my heels. And he sits there in my lap while I read the Bible. He wants to be there. Now, he don't understand none of that. But I believe he might be a gospel dog. I don't know. But you and I should love the Word of God. There's nothing more precious than the Bible. And preaching is primary in our worship service. Let's preach Christ crucified, but get Him off the cross. Get Him in the tomb, but don't leave Him there. Get Him out. For He is risen. Amen. God bless you.